It's the second biggest sporting event on the planet. And this year, like past years, the Olympics has captured global attention for its spectacular display of talent. But the Games are also drawing attention for another reason. It's stories of forced evictions and police violence that have raised alarm bells. Marc Joly is the head of the NGO Terre des Hommes. He says that over 77,000 families have been evicted from their homes to make room for the Olympics.
The houses have been destroyed, so the whole community, the favela community that was there, has been completely torn apart. It's a disruption of the family, it's a disruption of the community, because people are then scattered around the city or relocated to other places, as if they were treated like dogs and being relocated 20 kilometers away. Sometimes there has been some really heavy fighting because the various elements that were proposed for relocation, etc., were not very satisfying.
It's the equivalent of being kicked out of your spacious family home and being bundled into a small, tiny flat. Not many people would want to move, and so there has been resistance, and some of those clashes have turned violent. One of the reasons for this, explains Raf Toots, coordinator for urban planning and design at UN Habitat, is that the relocation process is being mismanaged.
There are always risks involved with any huge investment. One of the risks is that there will be need for some type of rehousing, eviction, but that should not be a problem if it is done in a proper way, because any public infrastructure, some people will have to move. You cannot just keep everyone on the same spot forever, otherwise the city cannot change. But it's all about the way in which this is done and the measures that are being used to accompany this. For instance, it means definitely consultation. It means providing good alternatives, compensation, financial compensation to what the people had before.
Organizers in Brazil, of course, have sold to their citizens, particularly the most vulnerable ones in favela communities, a very different image. They argue the Olympics will bring development, better transport, sanitation, improved air quality. But this hasn't been the case in Vila Autodromo Favela, where our earlier speaker, Marc Joly, has been researching.
There is still a lack of a certain criteria to be fulfilled and to be set in terms of human rights and protection of children's rights in the organization of these mega sporting events. And so this is why we are calling IOC, you know, to put in place such criteria, so that for bidding cities to want to apply, they need to respect a certain rules and in terms of social impact.
But the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, lacks influence on host countries and, for some specialists, the willpower. Although there have been efforts to reform the Games in the wake of several bribery scandals in the 90s that saw whole members of the IOC jetting across the world to bidding countries and getting wined and dined in the process, these reforms have been largely cosmetic. Helen Lenski, author of a damning expose on the Olympics industry, says its legacy outweighs the reforms.
In Atlanta, something like 10,000 homeless African-American men were shipped off to the suburbs so that the image of the Olympics in Atlanta would be a city that has no social racial problems. And so that former public space where homeless men were, or the downtown parks, were privatized. Even the vans that distributed free food to homeless people, these vans were policed by private security and given parking tickets if they stopped to hand out food. Being in a public place at a particular time, having a particular appearance as if you were homeless, was sufficient to get you moved on or arrested.
To break this negative legacy that has plagued host cities for decades, experts call for greater transparency to the Olympics organizing committees to ensure that ordinary citizens no longer pay the price.